Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Happy Friday. Welcome to the show. It looks like we're having Scott Capurro on at 8 o'clock. After all, I was trying to see if he could wake up early and come on at 7. Because we always do the new music on Fridays, and I love that segment. But we'll talk to Scott. So we'll, I guess lucky you, if you're not a huge Scott fan, it'll be a short visit. Celebrity Trash is brought to you by the Sarah and Vinny Clip of the Day. Oh, look at this is a thing now. Head to the Alice973 Instagram page, and you can catch the show's Clip of the Day. What was yesterday's Clip of the Day? Was that the one with the head bob and the Fox 2 talk?
The day before yesterday was that the short guy stuff? Yeah. The one that you
and Vinny were so mean. Oh, about. God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why I had to bring that up. Ooh, it's mean. Anyway, we're going to get started here. I want to mention this again. I need to do a correction for something that I did yesterday. As I was scrolling through Instagram, I found a speech that was given by Jesse Williams at the BET Awards. And Bill had reposted it from Affy and Crockett. And when I reposted it, I just assumed it was Affy and Crockett. And I made an ass just of me, not of you, really. But I misidentified the speaker. It was Jesse Williams and not Affy and Crockett. So I just wanted to make that correction and say I'm sorry. Like, when I found out, I was like, oh, God. But somebody had written into us later in the day in a text and said, you're talking about the guy from Grey's Anatomy, which I've never watched. I didn't know. So just, I was ignorant. Sorry. Hashtag nice try. Here we go. Movie theaters. 19 states are allowing brick and mortar businesses to reopen under new circumstances intended to mitigate the spread of the coronavirus. Movie theaters in many states must have, among other measures, a robust cleaning schedule. They always do such a good job. I don't know how it could be improved. No offense to the ones that actually do. But yikes, man, how many times have you been walking through and like, wow, I am sticking to the floor here?
Well, look, I think that, it is just my opinion, but I believe now is the time for all managers to work extra hard and order your employees to do things. 'Cause often if it's left up to them and you're dealing with young people who are only there for, you know, the first time, yeah, you know, and not everybody works hard to begin with. So you got to get people to do their job. You got to tell them this has to be done and you've got to do a better job.
To this standard, right.
Right.
Yeah.
I've definitely been in a lot of stores where young people are the, you know, look, it's, I get it. I totally get it. And yet I'm like, I'm asking you for help. That means please go find an answer for me. Mm. I need your help here. I want to spend money in your store. I don't know. Yeah, you don't know.
Well, go find someone who does. is a store that sells this item, and I don't. Maybe I'm assuming too much.
We're depending on the. I'm not going to go to a movie theater, and so I'll just keep that from being an issue I have to deal with. But I do see where there's going to be have to. It has to happen. right? The cleaning
for any business really that's opening back up and expects to, you know, stay open. There's going to be a whole new set of protocols, and so there's health guidelines designed to limit the spread of COVID-19. So movie theaters will open with limited capacities, like the 33% seating limit in Kentucky or 50% in Kansas City. But the actual enforcement of the restrictions differ based on the venue's location and other factors. Cinemark has announced that it will reopen in June. It will not require you to wear a face mask. However, it will encourage that and require employees to do so. But if you're going to the movies, I don't know how they are getting away with that. But Cinemark,
well, let me ask you this. Are they going to serve food?
Let me see if it says anything about food. It's
because
not
food
really
immediately makes
that.
People pull their mask down anyway. So right. Maybe that's what
well,
they're saying.
Well, that's where they make their money.
Right. That's why I'm saying maybe it's because they're like, we're going to serve food and we can't tell people to do this the whole time. Down,
so
up,
it's,
down, up.
Right. So they're encouraging customers to wear face covers. They require their employees to do so. They're also ramping up cleaning and implementing social distancing members. So, and if we're talking about a 30%, 30 to 50% rate of occupation inside the theater itself, that would leave many seats empty. You could hopefully stagger row. Like, please don't sit right behind me and cough. That'd be great. If you could sit a couple seats down and do that better. If you could not come anywhere when you have a cough, that'd be even better.
Right.
AMC is saying, we don't think we're going to survive the coronavirus pandemic. So it's been 3 months about since cinema chains across the globe shuttered operations. AMC Theaters says it has, quote, substantial doubt that it will be able to survive the economic impact, even if things begin reopening soon, as they are in some places. They did a filing revealing they expect to have lost between $2.1 and $2.4 billion in the first quarter of 2020. And they go on to lots and lots and lots of numbers here. It had some cash as of April. They say they have enough cash to anticipate being able to reopen and resume this summer or later on. However, with sporadic and unclear rollback of governmental operating restrictions that vary by area, they've got some big concerns. So it's, you know, look, it's happened a couple times of note during the pandemic. Movie studios are going straight to pay-per-view, basically. It's a lot more expensive than a later on rental. You know, you've rented Trolls 2 three times. Four times?
Three times, and I thought it was available for purchase this upcoming weekend, and it's not. So it turns out it's not available till the 23rd, which I'm not sure if that date got pushed back because they're doing so well with rental money,
right,
or if I just mistakenly read the date. But either way, it's still a few weeks away, and I could afford to rent it again. I cannot, on principle, rent it again. It's,
well, you're $60 in already,
right?
And to have rented it
and
for $60 and not own it is hard. So you're saying you will buy it when it's available.
When it's available,
that'll be the final
purchased.
$20 that you spend on the thing,
right? Yes.
Well, the girls will just have to wait.
They will just have to wait.
Taking a stand, Vinny. I like it. You've probably seen this. This is everywhere today. There is, you know, Elon Musk and Twitter. I thought he was taking a break. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I just thought he should take a break from Twitter.
Right.
And he didn't. He is yelling at Amazon. And basically, he's calling for Amazon to be broken up. There's an author who complained on social media about being unable to self-publish a book via the world's largest online retailer. Apparently, that's something you can do. You write a book, go ahead and publish it. Then Amazon puts it up. Musk tweeted, "This is insane," at Jeff Bezos. Both men, billionaires. They oversee competing space exploration companies on top of their duties at Tesla and Amazon. Time to break up Amazon. Monopolies are wrong, said Elon. He doesn't have, you know, he can call for it all he wants. He certainly doesn't have the legal authority to break up Amazon. And they are huge. And a lot of people actually don't use Amazon based on principle as well.
I have an article. I wasn't planning it, but it's relevant. They're talking about how this pandemic has caused the widest shift of wealth from small business owners to giant corporations, because giant corporations, Amazon specifically, did more business during the pandemic,
yep,
better than ever, and every other little business that you might have shopped at has been out of business and waiting to come back. So it's he might be onto something. I don't know. Again, you say he has no legal standing to do that. It would take the government to do that, and I don't think they can, even if they try. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I truly don't know how that process would even start. It's really nothing but it's nothing but a convenience. You know, and as much as I do use Amazon, I would find other ways. It's just that it's such a, you just click it and everything you want is there, and people sell their things on there and Amazon takes their cut, but those things are available elsewhere. You know, God forbid we should have to do a little research from the chair we're sitting in to find the thing that we want. Honestly, right?
I'm surprised to hear you saying that, but okay.
Well, listen, as we're going through this whole thing, I'm rethinking a lot of my habits. And, you know, honestly, that Global Hearts Sonoma really sort of opened my eyes to, I want there to be little stores that I can go to. There's a store right down the street from me, and, you know, a little boutique. It's a darling little place. It's called Monarch, ding, ding, shame. And it's a tiny little gift shop. And I go, whenever I got a birthday party for a girlfriend that I got to go, I love their jewelry. They just pretty little earrings, like do this like little, like sort of leftover pieces of saris that they've made into gift bags. And it's just, and it smells good in there. Like, I love that store. I love it. And I thought to myself, is that what you want to happen? Like, for that to go away? You know, there's something about a tactile shopping experience that I think we're losing touch with. And while, yes, I'm as guilty as anyone of using Amazon, I probably have a package that's going to show up on my doorstep today. That's who I am. But do I want those stores to go away? I don't. So I'm trying to rethink things, you know. Anyway, back to the story about Elon Musk calling for the breakup of Amazon. The book in question is called Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns, Part 1, Introduction and Death Counts and Estimates. That's the title of the book. It's 22
fun.
Pages.
Yeah.
So it's not fun, but the conspiracy theorists out there are saying that basically, you know, Jeff Bezos and President Trump, not friends. This book is basically, it's undermining some of what we're, you know, we think of as the general wisdom about what's happening with this thing, and it kind of backs up some claims that another side is making. And so the conspiracy theorists are saying they blocked this book because it gives information that they don't align themselves with, which isn't really their job. If there's, you know, if you meet the requirements to be published on their site, then you do. It has, in fact, since been published. Amazon did not acknowledge in any way that Musk had anything to do with this. And the author hasn't responded, at least not as of this particular story. He did tweet, thanks to Elon Musk and everybody who helped. But so I don't know. Is there a deeper thing here, or was this just what, you know, Elon's the guy who the people in Fremont are saying that Tesla never really did shut down at all. And he was, you know, arrest me. I'm flinging the doors open. Everybody back to work. So I don't know.
Well, one of the things I've read, and I don't know how true this is, and maybe other people can speak to it, but one of the things I've heard about super successful people, whether it's an athlete or a business person, they are driven by the smallest, pettiest things. So it wouldn't be that surprising from hyper successful, superhuman types to always be stoking their fire with some hostility towards someone.
Right.
So could it be Bezos blocked this book? Yeah. I would say I could totally see that.
Could be, right? Or, you know, and whoever down the chain from him. I mean, I doubt he's personally approving books or not, but it's possible that, you know, there's some kind of internal dynamic there that they said, no, this is, we don't like this.
It's one of the things you hear about Michael Jordan, that he is someone who, even when he didn't have a reason to hate someone, he came up with it to help stoke his competitive fire.
To motivate
And
him.
I've been watching that Lance Armstrong thing about his life and career or whatever. And he's another guy who always was like, I got to get my hate on in order to be out there and win these races. And that's, he talks about that very openly. Like, yeah, I need to be mad. Yeah.
I need to be determined.
And the saddest thing, you know, by the way, let me just mention.
You need to be hungry.
The saddest thing about this documentary I'm watching on Lance Armstrong, and he was a jerk, and he did do a lot of nasty things to people who tried to out him for being a drug cheat and out basically the entire cycling sport. Because they were all, it seems like, doing it. And many people who they interview, they say, I didn't want to do drugs, so I never was able to compete. I couldn't. I didn't want to do it.
Keep up with the druggies, right.
There was no way to win that race or be anywhere competitive if you weren't doing the EPO. But it goes on to talk about the great things this guy, Lance Armstrong, did for cancer patients. And the amount of positive things he put into the world have all been negated because he was a drug cheat in sports. And that is sad to see.
You do it to yourself.
These interviews where even the reporter who doesn't like him and is in the documentary is saying, he wouldn't let me into the room when he met with these patients. And often he was the last person they saw. And he would come out of these rooms where he was the support person to go in and talk with them. And he'd come out wrecked by it. And and what she's saying is, it's one of the things that it was clear it was genuine for him. He was trying to help and really put himself out there. And yet,
well, look, nobody's all good. Nobody's all bad.
Right.
This is the ugly part of the Lance Armstrong story is that, you know, he was called out on it a million times. He threw other people under the bus and he adamantly denied, angrily and adamantly denied that he was a part of it when he was the whole time. And then when it was called out, he, instead of being, you know, contrite and admitting what an a-hole he was, he just piled on the a-hole, you know?
Right. No, I'm not defending him. I am saying, though, it's sad that the good work he did is completely erased by the way he behaved. And
right.
he even says, he's like, look, I'm a drug cheat. How am I supposed to be honest about that? And I'm okay.
Right. Everybody wants to know what I'm on. What am I on? I'm on my bike, busting my ass 6 hours a day.
One word to sum this all up, credibility.
Right.
All right, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
Well, we'll get to some fast facts and the strawberry moon and a bunch more after these.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.